Welcome to the Climate Report on WFMP-FM Louisville. This is Hart Hagen, your host, and we are on episode number 92. Today's topic is Venezuela as per the DSA. This is an official statement about Venezuela from the Democratic Socialists of America. I'm not endorsing the Democratic Socialists of America, but they have a good statement about Venezuela that I'm going to draw from as part of our public affairs educational programming. We'll be talking about Venezuela as per the DSA in a few minutes, but first, here's what the Climate Report is all about. At the Climate Report, we believe that climate change is real. Climate change is a problem we can solve, and that we must solve it urgently. The worst effects of climate change are not in the distant future, and the point of no return is not in the distant future. By the point of no return, I mean, you know, there's a scenario in the foreseeable future whereby the climate just gets out of control. It's already, the global average temperature is already too high, and there's a foreseeable, there's a time in the foreseeable future when it can get even higher. And you know, some people have it in their imaginations, well, the temperature's just going to go up and then it's going to level off. No, there is no mechanism for the climate leveling off. If anything, the rate of increase in global average temperature is getting faster. We can still solve the problem, but only if we get our act together now. But in so doing, we have an opportunity to create a whole new world, a better world, a world with thriving local economies and thriving local ecosystems and thriving local farms, and a world where there is true opportunity and true equality. Now, there are people who will say that that's just an idealistic, unattainable notion, but be careful when you buy into somebody that's slamming idealism, because corporate America, the corporate profit motive, they have every reason to make us cynical so that we'll do nothing but consume their products and services, partly as a way of escaping from the real world, but it pays corporate America, it pays the profit motive when we are cynical and even a bit discouraged. There's a great deal that we can attain if we will get the Fortune 500 out of our way, and we can do that. But we must understand the exact nature of the problem at hand. Not least of all, we must understand the nature and extent of corporate power, and we must understand the exact nature of the U.S. government, especially as it involves power and powerful interests. We must understand that big corporations are the power behind the throne. Now, corporations have powerful PR machines for shaping public opinion, and they have wrapped themselves in the American flag, and they have led us to believe that corporate America is America. Nothing could be further from the truth. Corporations and corporate power are at war with the people of America and the people of the world. On that cheerful note, actually, this is not about being dreary. This is about understanding what has plagued us all these years. Let's say, hypothetical situation, you've been feeling bad for months and months and months, and go to the doctor, and the doctor says, bad news and good news. Bad news is you have a disease. Good news is it's perfectly curable. So that's actually good news, but you have to understand the exact nature of the problem. This program is part of WFMP's Public Affairs Educational Programming. The views expressed are those of the speaker and not the station. If you have any comments, questions, or feedback, please email info@theclimatereport.net. This show is also available on SoundCloud and Facebook. For more information, please email info@theclimatereport.net. So here we go, Democratic Socialists of America on Venezuela. I have a statement here that I got from DSA's website. I will read it and comment on it. Democratic Socialists of America, DSA, categorically opposes any and all efforts by the U.S. government to intervene in the domestic politics of Venezuela. Now, I'm going to repeat that sentence. I fully agree with it. DSA categorically opposes any and all efforts by the U.S. government to intervene in the domestic policies of Venezuela. You know, it's actually the sovereign right of every nation under the United Nations. So the United States is a member of the United Nations. The United Nations was formed in 1945, and by 1950 we had these treaties in place. The United Nations Charter is one of those treaties. The United Nations Convention on Human Rights is one of those treaties. And two things will surprise you. One is how many treaties we have signed that we have not abided by. The other thing that will surprise you is how many treaties we have not signed that we should have signed. Like, you would think that the United States would sign on to a treaty that says genocide is bad and we're not going to do it. But the United States refuses to sign it, or maybe they did sign it, but they carved out an exception that says, well, this doesn't apply to the United States. Same with terrorism. You would think that the United States would sign on to resolutions that say terrorism is bad and we're not going to do it. But the United States gets outvoted like 140-1 on matters like that in the United Nations. The point is that the United States, I hate to break it to you if you didn't already know, but the United States is a huge violator of international law. Nothing we do overseas, I mean, essentially everything we do overseas militarily is a violation of international law. So one thing we should be telling our government to do is obey the law. Continuing to read, the U.S. has a long and bloody track record of actions to overthrow democratically elected governments, stop the spread of socialism, and maintain U.S. imperial dominance in the region. Repeat, the U.S. has a long and bloody track record of actions to overthrow democratically elected governments. And that is historically true. We did it in Chile in 1973. We did it in Iran in 1953. We did it in Guatemala in 1954. Now we're trying to overthrow a democratically elected government in Venezuela. Why? Because the purpose of the United States government and the United States military is to do the bidding of transnational corporations. That's why I said if we want to solve the problem of climate change, we must understand the exact nature of corporations, and we must understand the exact nature of our government. It is not possible to properly understand our government unless we understand that transnational corporations are the power behind the throne. The Fortune 500 is the power behind the throne. The president does not do the bidding of the American people. The president does the bidding of transnational corporations. The U.S. Congress, as a body, does not do the bidding of the American people. The U.S. Congress does the bidding of the Fortune 500, the largest corporations. Continuing to read. It's referring to the last sentence where it's talking about U.S. imperial dominance in the region. It says, this includes the U.S. government's support of the 2002 Venezuelan coup that led to the temporary ouster of the legitimately elected president of Venezuela, Hugo Chavez. Let me speak for a minute to my conservative and libertarian friends. You might not like Hugo Chavez. You might not like Nicolas Maduro. But these people were democratically elected in legitimate elections. And yet you might be going along with the propaganda in the U.S. media today that constantly refers to Maduro as a dictator. How do you become a dictator when you're popularly elected? How do you become a dictator when you're elected by a majority of your people? It does not mean that the Venezuelan elections were perfect, but our elections are not perfect either. There is a great deal of documented fraud in our elections. There is a great deal of documented voter suppression in our elections. So in 2002, there was a temporary ouster of Hugo Chavez, and the Bush administration admitted to it publicly, proudly. What gives us the right to interfere in the government of another country? For 2 years in the U.S. press, especially MSNBC, but other corporate news outlets, it's like Russia, Russia, Russia. It's like Russia has supposedly interfered in our elections. How? Well, that part is unclear. But there's all this indignation that Russia might have interfered in our election. And yet some of the same people that have all this indignation about Russia might have interfered in our election. What are we doing in Venezuela right now but gross overreaches of our authority? And guess what? We're not just interfering in another country when we roll in with our military. We're not just interfering with another country when we impose sanctions. We're not just interfering with another country when we freeze their assets. We're interfering with another country when we use the threat of force. The threat of force is against international law. The use of force is against international law. And if you approve of the use of force when it's not in self-defense or genuine, true humanitarian intervention, which doesn't exist, humanitarian intervention does not exist. It never happens. When our government gives lip service to humanitarian purposes, they are lying. But if you believe in military action that is not in conformity with the rule of law, then you do not believe in the rule of law. I'm looking at the Republican Party platform here. It says, we reaffirm the Constitution's fundamental principles, limited government, separation of powers, individual liberty, and the rule of law. So let's just take that one thing. We affirm the rule of law. Okay, we affirm the rule of law, but we're the first to want to break international law when it comes to intervening in the affairs of other countries. Also says we reaffirm the Constitution's fundamental principles. Listen, my Republican friends, if you believed in the Constitution's fundamental principles, then you would acknowledge that when we sign a treaty, it is the law of the land. We have signed the United Nations Charter. The United Nations Charter is the rule of the land. If you believed in the Constitution, you would abide by the rule of law and you would abide by the Constitution. But you're not doing that when you're the first in line to interfere in the affairs of other countries, not least of all, democratically elected countries. Continuing to read in the DSA statement on Venezuela, it says, these imperial interventions must stop immediately. The future of the Venezuelan people and the broader prosperity of Latin America depend on it. Let me read that statement again because it's well worth considering. Imperial interventions must stop immediately. The future of the Venezuelan people and the broader prosperity of Latin America depend on it. Latin America is a horror chamber, and it has been impoverished by the imperial intervention first of the Spanish, then of the British, and now of the Americans. We have had almost perfect and complete control of the area throughout the 1900s, and especially since 1945, and the future of Latin American people depend on us staying out and obeying the law and respecting sovereignty. All of these things that we're not willing to do because our government is controlled by the top 500 corporations. It is, I'm sorry to say, not a government of the people, by the people, for the people. It is a government of the powerful, by the powerful, for the powerful. And that's why I say we must, in order to solve climate change, we must understand the exact nature of our government, and we must understand the exact nature of the corporations that are the power behind the throne. Continuing, Venezuela is currently suffering devastating economic and political crises that have left millions without consistent access to basic goods and services in a state of perpetual insecurity. So why is there a crisis in Venezuela right now? Well, it's for multiple reasons, but it is an absolute lie to say that it's because of socialism. You have to understand that anti-communism and anti-socialism is the state religion in the United States, and it has been for 100 years since the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. Russia has always been the big bad boogeyman and the war machine, which has a PR machine behind it, has persistently and relentlessly demonized communism and socialism. But there are no socialist countries in the entire world. There is no socialist country, and there are no capitalist countries. Some people want to say four legs good, two legs bad, like Orwell's sheep in the barn in Animal Farm. They would interrupt meetings to burst out bleating, four legs good, two legs bad. And that's all they knew how to say. And American media wants to train us to say capitalism good, socialism bad. We're Americans and we're capitalists, and capitalism is good, and we're tough and we're mean and we're strong and we're bad, and those socialists are wimps and those socialists are tyrants. It's just a bunch of hooey. Actually, in Venezuela, there are shortages of food and paper goods, but food and paper goods are controlled by private interests. Not every aspect of Venezuelan society is socialist. They have socialized the mineral rights. They have socialized the oil. So when oil is produced, they want that to go to the benefit of the people. And when gold is extracted, they want that to be for the benefit of the people. But quite often, it's actually a good thing for mineral rights to be owned by the government. Chile has, you know, their copper is owned by the government, even through the fascist regime of Augusto Pinochet, a brutal fascist pro-American dictator. All those terms go together, by the way. Brutal fascist pro-American dictator. All those four terms go together. That is the reality of American intervention on the world stage. But fascists are supposed to sell off all the assets to private interests. But Chile held on to their copper, which is, you know, they have the largest supply of copper in the world. Copper is the largest industry in the country. The government holds on to their copper. It is a socialized industry, and that works for them. There's no law that says all industry ought to be privatized. But there are privatized industries in Venezuela, including food distribution and paper goods, and those are exactly the ones that are having problems. Plus, Venezuela is having problems because the United States has sanctions on its oil. It can't sell oil. And American banks and British banks are seizing the assets. The Brits seized $1.5 billion worth of gold. American banks like Citicorp are saying, "Oh, sorry, you don't have any access to that money that you put in our bank." There's a word for that. You know, there's a fancy word for that in international relations. It's called theft. So the Americans and the British are stealing much of what Venezuela has, and then they're blaming it on the Venezuelans. The U.S. has had trade sanctions on Venezuela for a long time. Of course, it's all for freedom and democracy, right? Think again. If we cared about freedom and democracy, we would be going against Saudi Arabia. If we cared about freedom and democracy, we would be going against Colombia. If we cared about freedom and democracy, we wouldn't be supporting brutal dictatorships in Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. If we cared about freedom and democracy, we wouldn't be waging terrorist war on Nicaragua and Cuba. So continuing to read in the DSA statement, Venezuela is currently suffering devastating economic and political crises that have left millions without consistent access to basic goods and services and in a state of perpetual insecurity. Inflation has reached astronomical levels, rendering the local currency practically valueless and limiting the positive impact of regular minimum wage increases implemented by the Venezuelan government. In the wake of President Nicolas Maduro's inauguration for a second term on January 10th, the political situation has become still more dire. Maduro's inauguration was accompanied by claims from both the Venezuelan opposition as well as a host of governments in the region and beyond that he is no longer the legitimately elected president of Venezuela. So the opposition and many other countries are saying Maduro is no longer the legitimately elected president of Venezuela. And why? We're not saying that about Saudi Arabia. That's because Saudi Arabia not only gives us access to their oil, but they buy, or rather they sell their oil in U.S. dollars. And we love that, because those U.S. dollars, for one thing, is a lot of them, and they have to be deposited in U.S. banks. Okay, continuing, it's talking about claims that Maduro is not the legitimately elected president of Venezuela. These claims are based on prior accusations that the May 2018 Venezuelan presidential election was marred by the government's use of tactics that ensured Maduro's victory in advance. The newly appointed leader of the opposition-controlled Venezuelan National Assembly, Juan Guaido, of the right-wing Voluntad Popular, Popular Will, party, used this legitimacy crisis as an opportunity to proclaim himself the acting president of Venezuela and called upon the Venezuelan people to rise up in protest against the Maduro government. Many, including a small band of National Guard soldiers on January 22nd, who were quickly suppressed by security forces, have heeded the call, leading to sustained protests across the country beginning on January 21. Though there have been reports of repression on the part of the Venezuelan security forces, including the brief arrest of Guaido himself outside Caracas, and property damage on the part of opposition protesters, including the arson of an important community center in Caracas, significant confrontations between government and opposition supporters have yet to materialize. Nor has there been any indication that top military leaders are planning to break with Maduro. Nonetheless, the situation remains extremely tense. Any small political miscalculation could provoke serious violence and chaos in the country. Okay, let's look at that last sentence. Any small political miscalculation could provoke serious violence and chaos in the country. Now, picture John Bolton and ask yourself, does he care about serious violence and chaos? John Bolton, Elliot Abrams, do they care about serious violence and chaos? They love violence. These are bloodthirsty men. They have a record to prove that they are bloodthirsty people with no respect for international law or human rights. They love it when there's violence and chaos, because when there's violence and chaos, that's a perfect opportunity for our companies to sell weapons, all the while blaming everything on the dictatorial socialists. The role of the United States government in this unfolding situation over the last several weeks has been substantial and extremely counterproductive. Its actions have served only to deepen the political divisions and decrease the likelihood of a peaceful solution to the crisis. President Trump and Vice President Pence have both expressed their full support for the unelected Guaido as acting president and are working tirelessly to organize other nations to do the same. Further, Trump has stated that he is contemplating a military intervention in Venezuela and the U.S. National Security Council has indicated that it is strongly considering an embargo on Venezuelan oil exports to the United States. That oil embargo has in fact come to pass, which makes it even harder on Venezuela to conduct its business. Meanwhile, Trump and all the others, Trump and Pence and Bolton and Abrams, are shedding crocodile tears because, oh, it is so sad, those poor Venezuelan people are so oppressed by their socialist dictator. If we cared about the Venezuelan people, we would remove sanctions. If we cared about the Venezuelan people, we would do everything we could to help the Venezuelan people, or just get out of their way. So imagine a situation where we all of a sudden stop threatening military violence, we stop sanctions, we end all sanctions, we normalize relations, we no longer threaten to invade the country. And then President Trump goes to Nicolas Maduro, hat in hand, and says, "Look, I'm really sorry about this. I realize we were wrong. We would like to help you." And Maduro says, no, that's fine. You don't have to help. We don't need your help. You know, the last thing any country needs is American intervention. Here's a principle that I would like for you to consider. See if this principle makes sense. First of all, do no harm. First of all, do no harm. You know, we spend all this money, we spend over $1 trillion a year on the military, because we claim to be fighting terrorism. You know, the best way to stop terrorism is to stop doing it. The best way to stop terrorism is to stop committing acts of terrorism. It would be so inexpensive for us to actually help the world. The best thing we can do for the rest of the world is to leave people alone. Leave countries alone. But we're told that we have to pay all these taxes, and we don't have any money for Social Security, and we don't have any money for Medicare and Medicaid. We don't have any money for Medicare for All. Certainly don't have any money for free college. Don't have any money to forgive student loans. Actually, the government has plenty of money. It's just spending it on the wrong things. So there are lots and lots and lots of reasons for the United States to stay out of Venezuela, and no reasons for us to get in there and intervene. Let's go over a few of them as part of my closing comments. The U.S. does not have a good record for supporting the good guys. Number two, why to leave Venezuela alone? The U.S. does not have a good record for saving lives. Number three, the reason to stay out of Venezuela is the U.S. does not have a good record for supporting human rights. Reason number four for staying out of Venezuela, the U.S. does not have a good record for creating prosperity. Reason number five to stay out of Venezuela, the U.S. does not have a good record for supporting democracy. Reason number six to stay out of Venezuela, the U.S. does not have a good record for supporting freedom. Reason number seven to stay out of Venezuela, humanitarian intervention doesn't exist, and if it did, the United States has never practiced humanitarian intervention. It's a lie. It's a sham. We don't go in militarily for humane reasons, for humanitarian reasons. Reason number eight, we cannot afford endless war. We could save a lot of money and do the right thing by shutting down the war machine and using it for actual defense, not for bogus humanitarian reasons that are actually for oil and other forms of riches. Thanks for joining me. Hope you'll come back next time.